What's up, y'all?
All right. So listen, we have a new opportunity so you can be loyal increasingly to the Corner Store Podcast. We have a Patreon account. Tarma, Davian, where can people find us on Patreon?
Patreon.com/cornerstore_pod.
And this is a way where you can support us each and every week. There are, you know, very affordable ways to support the Corner Store. It gives you a multitude of options. You could support the snacks, stop Max from coming out of his pocket every week to, you know, feed people in the Corner Store. And you could also be a part of a live studio broadcast if you wish. There's a lot of things in that Patreon account. Tar, where can people find that one more time?
Patreon.com/cornerstore_pod.
Y'all, please consider becoming a Patreon, a patron of the Corner Store. Thank you for your support. Karma, hi, Dave.
Hey, Kevin.
We've already been on one.
I know, but we already like had a really intense discussion about Game of Thrones.
I know. No spoilers.
No, not at all. Also, I don't tweet about it because everyone else does, you know?
I know. I find that aspect of Twitter.
Actually, you are the most surprising Game of Thrones watcher.
Yeah?
Yes. Because I don't think you watch TV.
I'm surprised by myself, actually.
Oh, cool.
At times.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you had a good week?
Yeah, it's been decent.
What's new with the writings?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Mm-mm. Not really.
Okay.
Not at the moment. What about you?
You know, always doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same shit, different day.
Yeah, which is great. Kind of. we have great guests in the building.
Indeed.
A duo, a team, a squad.
Yes.
I feel like they are, you know, I feel like they, you know, delight in, of course, the visual space, but maybe via graphics, graphic design. I think people who really consider the line, people who also bring, I think, like really, you know, fun minutia of the everyday into their art practice. But we have Jeremy and Farah in the Corner Store. Y'all, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Before we begin and get into who you are, Max, the snack tour, has secured some snacks for you guys. They include, in no particular order, and these are for y'all to share, these are some Starburst gummies. They're shareable size, but they're new, and they say new and original on the package.
Nice.
I'm confused. Also, Max got you some Smart Food white cheddar cheese popcorn.
Oh, those
popcorn.
Are good.
You like those?
Yeah,
okay.
Those are good.
Good.
Sure.
Good. Yeah. Please feel free to crunch, to open bags. We do have cups, and Max also got you one Go Smart 100% natural single source coconut water.
Oh, this is like single really source. Curated.
Nice.
Yeah,
thank
yeah?
you.
Do you feel seen
just,
as a
I just
consumer?
Wonder how
the gummies are good.
How Max stalks people enough to like know.
I think Max is in people's garbage. I think that's the last I heard. He's just like rifling through and be like, oh, huh?
And then he goes home and makes art out of it.
Yeah.
Found art.
Yeah, and then keeps a big list.
He's nodding, so you know.
No, look, it's a thorough process is what I'm trying to tell you. To secure the snacks, Max the Snack Tour goes to great lengths.
I mean, you have to do a lot to get that title, you know, so clearly he's earned it.
You feel me?
Yeah.
But y'all, welcome, and please enjoy the snacks. Let's get it out of the way. Jeremy and Farah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's
what are you getting out of the way?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, because a lot of times we'll interview we'll interview individual artists.
Right.
But you guys have the and
true.
Not the ampersand in between.
Oh wait. No, I think it's the plus.
It's the plus.
Ooh,
Jeremy.
I like that.
You can't have on Instagram you can't have a plus sign as a handle. So we had to put the and.
Okay.
But you say it Jeremy and Farah. You don't say plus.
Jeremy plus Farah.
But
right.
You just.
It's a little more
but
visually.
But it's a stylistic choice. I see.
Yeah.
So Jeremy and Farah.
Yeah.
Plus Farah. Okay, sorry,
plus sign Farah.
Plus sign. How did y'all meet?
I went to school with her brother.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
Okay.
And then one day, he's a photographer and a designer.
What school?
I finished my last 2 years of school at Columbia, down the street from here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we were both designers, and I was painting a mural in my back porch, and he came to document it, and we went to Home Depot to get some supplies, and then since he had a car, I happened to get a big plant, and he told me all about his sister that did artwork with plants. And I just planted the seed. I didn't really connect with her until maybe 2 years later.
Yeah, and like I knew about Jeremy because like my brother Jason was like, oh, like, you know, I met this other artist and he's from Spain because my family's from Romania. And so he's like, oh, you know, like we have a lot of similarities. And I was like, okay, cool, I don't care. But I don't think he was doing it for any reason. He was just like,
just so you know, I met this Spanish artist.
Yes, yeah.
I'm going to leave it there.
Yes, and I was like, okay, cool.
Was he also planting the seed?
No, like I think he genuinely just like was excited that he met this guy from Spain and he liked him as a friend. I don't know. I have no idea because like, yeah.
Well, your brother's really nice too.
Yeah, he's really nice. But like when he found out later, like I obviously told him because I'm really close with my family. But Jason was like wondering, like, is Jeremy ever going to tell me that he likes you? So it was like this weird like situation. Yeah.
So you guys started to hang out 2 years after that, or?
Yeah.
So it's that weird thing where like Instagram was starting. I didn't have a smartphone for most of college, and then I finally got one, and then I took Instagram too serious for that thing where you like don't want to have too many followers. Like you don't want to have more than 200 people that you follow, and you know, like that weird ratio that you want to keep. And then so I saw that she followed me, but I never looked. And then 2 years later, I looked.
Yeah. Wow.
And I was like, yeah, I have to reach out to her.
Because I was like on vacation. I had like a tan. It was like the
perfect time. She was out in Miami with all the friends.
Yeah, I was in Miami. And I just had a feeling, which is the weird. Like I told my girlfriends, like I'm like, hey, I have a feeling that this guy is going to reach out to me. And like 2 days later, he did.
And it was Jeremy. You thought it was Jeremy or just a random dude?
No, I knew it was Jeremy. Okay, I showed them. I'm like, what do you guys think? And they're like, he didn't even reach out to you. And I'm like, I just have a feeling he is. Like, he is. And then he did. It was so bizarre.
Uh-huh. That's strange.
It was a bizarre thing. Yeah.
That's like kismet.
Yeah, I just knew it.
Yeah. I believe in women's intuition. You know
yeah.
I mean?
Like, we know everything.
Right. I agree. Listen.
What are you looking at me for?
I already know what you're going to ask next. Oh, so don't even do it.
Maybe you're a medium. Maybe you're a medium. I don't know what you're going to ask.
Damn, I'm excited. What am I going to ask next?
Maybe you should do the interview.
I actually can't say. It's another one of my things.
Okay, that's fair. So that's pretty cool. That's incredible, right? Were you guys fans of each other's work, I guess, first? Is that?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
So the thing was
Barrett
like
keeps it a buck.
Jeremy is like really, he was really good at drawing and I really liked conceptual work. So I was like, okay, cool. These are great drawings, but I just like want to know what they're about. And so like, I remember the first time we ever hung out, like I asked him like, why are you drawing these things? Like there has to be a reason why you're drawing these things. And I think Jeremy was still trying to figure it out. So because he wasn't like, he was still trying to get there, I got annoyed and I'm like, what? So I told him like, I hate drawing because
on
I
our
don't.
First date.
Yeah, I did. I'm like, first of all, I hate drawing.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't. Well, it's not that I hate drawing. I just don't agree with like teaching drawing because I think that, especially as a teacher, kids just, they get so consumed by it and it's like.
By representing the exact thing or like the correct form of drawing
becomes kind of mimeographed or copied.
Yeah, and I don't really think it's like really applicable entirely, if that makes sense. Like,
are you talking about like real world experience rather?
Yeah, like that's not what really art is. Like, art is like an idea.
Or like it discourages a lot of people once you can't progress or get to a certain level. Like, you know, like, oh, I can't draw because like you can't portray something realistically.
Well, I'm sure you get the same thing with writing. It's like kids just get like discouraged. So I guess like I always felt that way. So then when I saw that Jeremy, like that was one of his main things, drawing, I was like, well, just so you know, I hate drawing. And also like, what are your drawings about? It was a really weird first date.
You're like, putting on the moves is what you're trying to say.
No, that was just me.
Yeah,
that was just me. And so I was just like, okay, like
I was so thrown off that I wanted more.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, I don't know how where I was going, so I was like, I gotta keep figuring it out.
Wait, so what were you drawing?
Okay, so I was drawing like these like murals of random objects that, you know, like would represent things in my life, or and if I did it for someone that would represent their life or things like that. So,
well, you have a tattoo of some of them.
Not really.
Oh, you don't?
Mm-mm.
Never mind. I guess I don't know my husband.
Yeah, listen.
He doesn't have a tattoo of it.
The point is.
Well, I do have. I have a symbology of it, but like, or like symbols, but not necessarily like the full on right. like walls that I would.
Yeah,
do.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
What were you making? He said you were interested in plants.
I was a printmaker, and I did a lot of like. So, well, there was like one summer where I was like, you know, I'm just going to start gardening. Everyone thought it was funny. I don't know why, because it wasn't funny. So I really started gardening, and I went out and bought some like sunflower seeds. They were huge. They were like three times the size of me. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, how does this even happen? So I got so, I guess, like obsessed with this idea of like these little seeds like create these huge things. And I'm like, whoa, this is sort of metaphoric. And then so I started making artwork using different elements. So I would take like corn husks and then I would make like collagraphs. Are you guys familiar with collagraphs? So you like glue them down
on a wood
or like a thick like board. And then you put gel medium on that so that it creates sort of like a like a barrier. And then you put ink on it and you put it under a press. So there were like these really pretty like rich lines. And then I would then screen print on top, like, the shape of a seed. And then I would cut them out, and they looked like real seeds because the lines from the corn husks made that, like, texture.
Wow.
And then I would cut out all the seeds, and then I would, like, sew them all together and make, like, huge, like, piles. And then I would do installations.
They looked like quilts or, like, blankets.
Yeah, but they were out of paper. And then I would do installations of, like, an actual, like, garden, but then I wasn't doing anything to keep it alive because the whole idea was like, I think like even in life, like you can work so hard at some things, but it's like sometimes the things just die on you. Like it's out of your control. So
your concept was death, like,
yeah, like growth and decay and like life and death of just like different things in your life. It was pretty cool. It was like it was definitely like a good season. And I think it like lended itself to what we started creating together.
Well, it sounds beautiful. I guess I want to talk about what and how you began to merge your artistic practices together. That can't be a natural thing to do. No. Collaborating with a person.
We actually wanted to keep it separate.
Okay, and then yeah. What happened?
Well, we said, like, when we realized, like, okay, like, this is actually getting serious, we were like, hey, let's just, like, never mix our artwork because, like, I have my own thing going and you have your own thing going. And then also, like, we were still dating at the time. So it's like, why would we get so invested together if, like, we really don't know what's going to happen in the future? And then what would happen if, like, we split up? And it was like, it's just a really personal thing, you know?
Yeah, both the artwork and the intimacy of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
So the desire to keep that separate, I guess, it gives you your own sanctity of that space.
But it only lasted like a week. And then I was like, wait, like he knows graphic design and I don't. Like, I could actually like use this guy for a couple things.
I'll marry him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fool him.
It worked.
It worked. How long did you date for before you guys found that moment where you wanted to collaborate in that way? Or how long did it take y'all to get married? Or what came first, I guess?
We started working together probably like a few months into dating. We started like testing my drawings and then like overlapping and screen printing them over her textural patterns and just playing with those and see how they would work together. And then from that kept evolving. But then we dated for about 10 months before we got married. We celebrated a year after we got married.
Yeah, like after our honeymoon, wow. We like went out and celebrated 1 year of knowing each other.
That's crazy.
Which is like crazy, and we don't like recommend it for everyone, but it worked out for us.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
This summer is.
It'll be 3 years.
Yeah, this August is 3 years.
Yeah, of being married.
Yeah,
right.
Okay,
but we've known each other, I guess, for four. Yeah.
Nice. Well, so let's talk about the work. Of course, right now on View, you guys have a show up at Young Chicago Authors, a really brilliant, beautiful gallery show. We were talking beforehand, but all the folks at YCA really think it's like the most beautiful the space has been. It's a relatively new gallery space for us. We took over the first floor of that building, you know, only a few months ago, really, and you guys really have made it a welcoming, warm environment
They did a mural, right?
Yeah.
Indeed. I haven't seen it in person, but I've seen it. It looks dope from the pictures.
No, it's really, really fire. So when you guys are working together and in this show now, like what can people, like, what do you want people to be seeing?
Well, the whole body, the title is called Forms of Rest. And, just to give a little background, we work full-time. We both have, like, really demanding jobs. I'm a graphic designer at an agency. Fair is a CPS art teacher. And art teachers are underestimated in the hours that they put in, or CPS teachers in general. But, yeah, we both put in a lot of hours, and then on top of that, we do the practice. So I think it celebrates this idea of balance of work, play, and rest. But we realize a lot of time hustle is celebrated, but rest isn't. And it's such a strong component of being able to be productive. So we had to figure out a way of, like, keeping a healthy balance both in relationship and in work and in home. So, like, finding those ways of keeping that balance is kind of the thinking behind the work.
Damn, that's beautiful. Speaking of my whole life, really.
I feel like, I know, I was going to say, Kevin, you're learning that.
I know. I'm like, please say more. So you both have demanding jobs. We were talking a little about being an art teacher and then practicing art, but also you're making art during the day, Jeremy, right? And how do you balance that time, and what time do you dedicate to the studio practice?
We don't really have a set time for studio. So we had a studio in our house for the last year and a half. We have one of those Chicago apartments that has a dining room and a living room. So we took one of the sides and made it a full-on studio, screen printing studio. We built our own exposure unit and then washed the screens in the bathtub and all that jazz. And then we had the dining table and the couch in the other room. But pretty much it goes by project.
I think also, like, when you're working with someone else and, like, we're married, so it's not like a friend where I can be like, hey, like, I'm just exhausted, and for them to be like, oh, I understand, because, like, we're more likely to push each other and not take the other person's feelings into consideration, not on purpose, it just sort of happens. So I think we had to learn where it's like, okay, if you aren't in the right space to be making work, it's okay. I'm going to make some on my own, and then we'll circle back. Or sometimes we've made decisions. Like, well, when we were on vacation, we were in Europe, and Jeremy was bringing up artwork, and I literally was like, stop, because I really needed...
resting.
Yeah. And another thing is Jeremy feels rested by creating artwork, and I don't always.
That's awesome. That means you never stop.
No, he doesn't ever stop. That's and so crazy. That's why, to me, it's like we had to sort of learn from each other where it's like, I don't feel rested. I feel like I'm giving more of myself, and then I won't be effective tomorrow at work. And I personally feel like once I started teaching, I didn't know I would become like this, but once I started teaching, I felt like that was like my ultimate calling. So for me, a lot of the artwork that I'm creating is like the curriculum and making sure my students are like nurtured and creating their artwork. And we still make artwork together, but it took sort of, we had like this weird moment where I was a little disappointed in myself because I felt like what is happening? Like, I feel like I'm thinking about the kids and what I want to do for the kids more than creating my own artwork. So I feel like
But you also bring in a lot of, like, you give the kids opportunities, like, so we were mentioning she teaches in Bridgeport, and there's a gallery there, the Co-Prosperity Sphere. They've been super nice. They've given the school 2 years or two shows every year, or one per year, and things like that. And then Design Museum of Chicago had them last year.
Yeah.
So, like, you're giving them real life experiences too, not just...
Yeah,
and I
do also feel like some of their work came into our work,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Of course, yeah.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask, where the basketball imagery came from. I mean, it really reminds me of still art, but like contemporary, you know,
mm-hmm.
speaks to, like, I don't know, the sort of things like me and Kevin are into.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Youth so culture.
Our work is very circular. It takes on a lot of the influence of previous bodies of work or like seasons, but the basketball comes from looking at the objects from a structural or like shape standpoint. So like the brick, the cinder block is our foundation or like our go-to, and so are the plants. Like those are like, they've always sort of been there subtly in all of our bodies of work. So I would say like that's the main chunk of our work. But then, so if you look at the cinder block, there's like, it's a rectangle, and then there's like a square inside, and then there's another square, and then the pots of the plants are kind of like this weird other shape, and then the plants are kind of like triangles in a way, organic shapes. And then the basketball completes the shape spectrum, bringing in the circle. I also played basketball in high school, so it's like a reference to my youth. I've been trying to get a little healthier and
nice. Are you nice?
Huh?
Are you nice with basketball? Are you good?
I'm okay.
Okay.
I gotta catch up. I was pretty good. I wasn't the best.
Yeah. But because you're from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I played overseas, and the best guy on our team was from Mallorca. He was like guard from Mallorca. And he said that like Spanish ball, and you could tell because he had like for real skills. Mm-hmm. He said Spanish ball was like,
it's very technical.
Yes,
here is very physical.
Yeah,
and I had to learn that the hard way.
Right,
when I came here.
Right, that makes sense. So at this point, when you guys are creating work, are both your hands touching every piece of work at this point? And I guess that's my mm-hmm. A question.
And how do you know when you're done?
Well, Jeremy's never done. I'm the one that's like, no, it's done. Like, I think it's fine. Like, we need to move on. But he's a lot more, well, not that he's never done. He just has, Jeremy's the type of person that, like, if you want to get ideas for something, like, let's say you have a project and you want to bounce ideas off Jeremy, he won't get sleep that night because he's, like, still generating ideas. He really will just not get sleep. And so a lot of times, like even with this show, there was a time where I had to say, like, let's just stick to what we first said. And then when we get there and we have extra time, we'll add on the other 100 things you just mentioned to me.
We pretty much said about 75% of the ideas we actually wanted to do, or I wanted
to do. Yeah. And we don't necessarily touch every piece, both of us. For this show, I would say we did, because there was mm-hmm. a layer that I did in the background of every piece. We try. Well, we're both part of the thinking process. Like yeah. I said in the beginning, like I'm very conceptual, so I like to know everything, and I think we're both part of that process. A lot of the drawing is Jeremy. A lot of the painting is me and the screen printing. And then we don't
like seeing it separate. It's more like a design agency. Like when you see a Nike ad, you don't say, "Well, I did the I curated the shoe laces on there, and I did the mm-hmm. lighting on that photo." Like, you know, I took that photo with my team. You know, so it's like we come up with ideas together. We bounce ideas, and then we just play off of the strengths of each other. So like, you know, like she's really good at screen printing. I'm really good at drawing. We're both pretty good at painting walls. She's more sporadic. I'm more detail-oriented. So just pulling the strengths of each one.
Yeah.
We used to, like, I guess we sort of felt bad if we both weren't doing everything when we first started.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just, like, there were just so many arguments. And then we got to the point where we were, like, realistically, like, this isn't worth our marriage, because ultimately, like, what we want, I think, at the end of the day, for everyone to see when they look at our work, is that it's us, and that, like, there's love communicated through the piece, and it's not going to happen if we're both just, like...
And we got through a phase where we didn't know how to work together.
Yeah.
So we figured out the best way to do it for us is that we take a lead on the project.
Mm-hmm.
So we're both together, but one takes more of a lead or a passion point, and then from there, we sort of... Pretty much, because we're both very driven, very opinionated,
mm-hmm.
in a good way, and So yeah, you just have to learn who takes the lead in the moment.
Yeah, and which is like the metaphor for the marriage too, right? I mean, it's a work relationship that is also this other relationship, and I'm sure that they really ebb and flow. And you know, it sounds like you. I mean, it's an evolutionary process, right? Where you get hopefully like better with time, both as artists and then as communicators within the relationship. And that's tough though. It's a lot of work. Right.
For the gallery, was it like piece by piece that one of you took the lead on, or was it
no,
or like group of pieces?
Well,
so we came up with the ideas together.
Jeremy has been doing a lot of like of these drawings, so he's had like a ton, like books and books full. So we sort of sorted through the books and saw like what we wanted to recreate in a larger format.
Was that the wall? I know there was like.
So that was actually Farah's idea.
Okay. Yeah, that looked really dope.
And then I made it, but it was based on her idea. So that wall that you're referencing is the first one on the white section, right?
Yeah.
That one is... You want to explain it?
Which one? Oh, yeah. So Jeremy turned 30 last September. And... it just felt like a new season for him and like for us. And so we were talking about, Jeremy was just like, oh, I want to make, you know, more artwork every day. And I was like, why don't you just make a piece a day with the same elements and like not really giving too much thought about it. And let's just see what we create. So we cut down the papers and then we put them all together, like, to form a calendar. So every day was, like, a new piece.
But
and
an important note is that September has 30 days. So symbolic.
Mm. Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm turning 30, it's 30 days.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool.
And it was cool to see, like, how each day sort of went. Because some of the days had, like, a lot more cinder blocks. And some of them had, like, a whole bunch of basketballs.
Yeah, because the idea was trying to use... the rest of our work isn't necessarily like that, but... in this one, it was very much trying to use the associated meanings to the different objects and try to express feeling through them and how the day went. So if you look at the piece like that, you can start figuring it, kind of putting two and two together as you see them.
That's beautiful. I also see the role of the educator in that moment because it's like a prompt.
Right.
I mean, I give students prompts all the time, right? And that's a really great prompt. Right. So that guide is also effective for an artist, too. Right. To be able to, I mean, and so that's kind of, you know, the balance and part of the, you know, the intersection of that relationship, too. So this show is up. Of course, people should go see it. It's a really beautiful show at Young Chicago Authors. What are you guys working on? The show is up. It's dope. Mm-hmm. What are you guys working? What's next?
I don't know. Well, right now we have a ongoing thing with Chicago Design Museum. They have this artist series, and we're really proud to be part of it. It's just a way of giving back to them. They've been like really influential for both of us. And for me in school, I was able to volunteer a time or two, and then just meet creatives at their events. And then the school, they did a thing with, what is it called? John Massey?
John Massey. He's like a graphic designer from the city.
Yeah. What's the series at the Chicago Design Museum?
It's a artist series on there. It's like a threadless shop. So they're like having different artists. I don't know if it's every month or...
or like every 2 weeks. I forgot.
I don't know. But it's just really cool to be part of that and give back to them.
They basically like put your artwork on some like merch.
Right. Yeah.
And then...
I don't feel like we have...
That was a lot of work to put the show together. So
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of work in the space too. Not only what you did to the space, but
also there's 50 plus paper pieces. There was four installations, and then there was a mural.
I feel like that's the most work that's been in there.
Easy.
Yeah. And we had screen prints. So like there was 40 screen prints available, and then the sticker packs as well.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, the sticker packs that you can make your own mural.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Right?
Did you make those by hand, or you had them?
We screen printed each, and then we like cut them out.
Wow.
Of the sticker.
So just the labor involved is just hours and hours and hours and hours.
And like,
you can see there's love in it.
Yeah.
For that.
A lot
for
of
that
care.
Alone. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we don't have anything super huge. Also, though, we did make the decision that it's like, we want to sort of like sit down and sort of have some space, just because we don't want to be known for being like the artists that have basketballs in their work. And I think that a lot of people have been drawn to that, but we don't feel like that's like is something that's going to represent us our whole life.
Well, the thing
it's
is
all
like
you have to say,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the thing is like a lot of the line work is blue, and then the basketball is bright orange, and it's a circle, and humans are drawn to a circle, mm-hmm. especially if it's orange. So I think it catches most attention naturally is by those facts. But I mean,
because those are the colors I associate with the two of you, right? That mm-hmm. that like royal, like dark blue, I guess.
Yeah.
And then that
we've
orange.
Like been into it lately. I think it's because, well, what happened? I want to say like a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of the colors we saw in America were just like these pastels,
mm-hmm.
and then when we went to Europe, we saw that there was just so many bright colors, but it wasn't obnoxious. It was done in a very like strategic way in terms of like design or even like in different like shops, the way that they used materials. And we were so like, why don't we ever do that? Like, why does no one do that in America? Like, if you use a bold color, it's seen as like obnoxious. So we started playing with color, and that's also like when I started teaching, and like that's all my kids want to do is like these like crazy colors. And so I feel like it influenced our work a lot.
Nice. Well, look, I know that it's not easy to keep both the day job and the other job of making, mm-hmm. but you guys really are great at making. So, you know, I know that you're passionate about, I'm an educator as well, mm-hmm. but I think that practice of making is always like, mm-hmm. my mentor told me to always put the making first. Because mm-hmm. that's what kind of opens the doors to everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, you know, I really am a fan, and we're fans of what you all do, and just really want to see you continue to do it. So please, please continue. Where can people be in tune with what you're doing in the world on the internets?
Mainly on Instagram.
Yeah, that's like, it's like our, I'd say like we post some of our personal things on there just because like.
Well, you get a full sense of.
Yeah.
Of who we are.
We don't want to be just like artists. We want to be people.
I mean, we have a website, but there's not a lot. We'll put up some stuff on the shop eventually, but there's not really more than just like a landing page right now.
Yeah.
The IG is
Jeremy and Farah.
Great. Well, thank you both for being with us in the corner store and for, you know, making such great and beautiful work in the world and particularly for the show at YCA, and thanks for being here tonight.
Thank you.
Yo, we want to thank DJ Exist for the beat,
Langston Olsen for the art,
big ups Todd Manley at WGN Radio,
and Max and Dami, the corner store interns.
Salutes to our super producer, DJ Cash Era.
You can keep in tune with the Corner Store at cornerstore_pod on Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
Also, you can stream and download the Corner Store wherever you listen to podcasts.
And please rate and subscribe and comment on iTunes.
Please, y'all, consider giving us those 5 stars.
Thank you for listening.
We're going to see you next week.
The Corner Store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.